This is episode one with Matt Dietz.
I never experienced a moment where I didn't feel like God didn't love me, but I had plenty of moments where I didn't love me.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John B. Fuller here, and I am fired up, blazing excited to introduce to you a special guest and my best friend, Matt Dietz. Matt, you fired up and ready to roar?
You know it. Let's do this.
Let's do this. Okay, Matt is a singer, songwriter, and worship leader from Amarillo, Texas. His most recent release is The Sound of Heaven, which can be heard worldwide on iTunes, Google Play, Apple Music, and Spotify. You can also catch his official lyric video on YouTube. Matt is also a father of two beautiful girls. He's a creative at heart, and it shows not only in his music that he writes, but also in the homes that he builds and renovates. All right, Matt, so I gave our audience a little bit of insight into who you are and what you do. Let's jump in. I want to hear more about your business, your interest, and most importantly, your passion for Jesus and how that overlaps.
Yeah, so it's a long story. We could talk for hours about it, but basically, you know, I'm like the bio said, I'm involved in leading some worship. Do a lot of that all over the panhandle and trying to expand and grow outside of that, beyond this area specifically. But been writing songs for, gosh, probably since I was about 17 years old. Started the process then. It grew into a huge passion in my life, something I've become extremely passionate about, and I've been a student of it. I've really spent a lot of time just really studying how other people write songs and what songs look like when they're well written. And so it's a beating heart passion, I guess, of mine. But I also have spent a lot of time outside of music, and I think a lot of those experiences in life beyond music have really affected my writing and affected the content of my writing. I think in a lot of ways, lots of life experiences have gone through a divorce, and that will cause anybody to reflect and do some really heart-searching. And as a result, you know, that's interwoven in my music, not necessarily the divorce as a topic, but just the result of the conversations that have occurred in the process of going through that. And you know better than anybody, having walked through that with me, and just the pain and the struggle that's associated with that. So, you know, it's a little personal information about kind of my history and my past, but things are just really good at this point, man. God's doing so many good things in my life. Love Jesus, love the Lord, really in a passionate pursuit of the Holy Spirit and what gifts the Holy Spirit wants to release into my life, other than just the musical capacity and the ability to be creative, you know, going after it and searching those things out. And the Lord's just been gracious and good. And my daughters, you know, that's part of my life, huge part of my life. I spend a lot of time with them and loving on them and pouring into them and hoping that they develop into, and knowing that they will develop into, just beautiful young women who passionately pursue the Lord and go after everything that He has for their lives. And so, man, that's kind of it in a nutshell.
So let's talk about an inspirational quote. So you had mentioned to our listeners about a time, obviously, you'd gone through a divorce. It's been several years back. And what you had to go through, what was an inspirational quote or maybe a scripture that the Lord gave you just to walk through that time?
Gosh, you know, there are just so many things that had occurred that gave me inspiration people that were in my life, things that were going on at the time, books that I was reading, the scriptures. But probably the most, interestingly, the most inspirational thing that occurred during that time going through the divorce that the Lord used in my life to inspire me to his purposes and his callings on my life and to just keep pressing on and keep moving forward, even while I was going through the struggles that I was going through pre-divorce. And the thing that really hooked me the most that the Lord just used in my life was actually a song that I had written. And the Lord took me to a place where at one point I had really just laid down music altogether. There was about a 7 or 8 year period of my life, going on 10 years, that I had totally laid down music, not done anything with it, hadn't picked up a guitar. In fact, and through a process of events, I had a guitar that was basically stolen from me. And it was just the enemy working in my life to try to take what was most telling about my relationship with Jesus and what I was most passionate about. And so coming out of that, the Lord began to pour into me with his desires for music. And that happened through people that just began to speak words of knowledge and encouragement. People that didn't know me, just random people on the street. I had probably 5 or 6 within a period of six days that just began to speak prophetically into my life and call out giftings and callings on my life. And in that process, it was interesting how the Lord, one night I was sitting at home alone, just in a complete broken state, and the Lord took me to a song that I'd written. He recalled it to my memory, and he said, "Matt, I want you to go to listen to the song." And so I pulled out an old CD recording that I had, and the song, the words of the song, it said, "Though the mountains crumble and though the waters rise, in the midst of it all, I realize they were made to praise you." And at that very moment, the Lord began to minister to me, through me. And it was probably one of the most profound moments of my life. The Lord just began to speak into me and say, "You know, Matt, I created you for this. And if I can use your songs to minister to you, don't you believe that I can use those same songs to minister to others?" And so it was probably the turning point in my life. And God used actually something that I had written to minister to myself. So
I love that. So this is going to tie a little together, but I want to talk about your life journey in the sense that I think a lot of people know that they're created to do bigger things. And a lot of times I think people lay them down. What I want to ask you is, where was that defining moment with music? You talked about laying it down for 7 or 8 years. What was that moment you just thought, "You know what? This is in me. This is what I'm created to do. To heck with everybody else, man. I'm going after this, and I'm going to just do it." Was there a moment that like just clicked for you right there, and you're like, "I'm picking this music thing back up, and I'm going for it"?
Yeah, there were several moments that were similar to the one that I just experienced or just explained that I had experienced. And just little things that the Lord did that encouraged me to begin to go after something that was on my life. You know, I'm a contractor. I build and remodel houses and do things like that with restaurants and that sort of thing. So that's where I'd spent most of my, you know, adult life pursuing monetary gain and, you know, the ability to live life. It was through building. And I had moments where the Lord just began to tell me to pick the music thing back up. But honestly, probably the most defining moment was an extremely recent moment when, you know, I'd recorded some stuff, an album that I released to iTunes called Galaxy. And it did, you know, fairly well, but it was a self-recorded album, self-produced. I did it with my brother, Zach, and then just had several musicians that I knew that played on it. But as far as you know, the creative control and production ability. It was just so new to me. I didn't have the ability to take it in the direction that I wanted it to go until recently, when I contacted a guy named Gabriel Wilson, who's a producer out of Vancouver, Washington, which is basically Portland, Oregon, who had done some work with Bethel. He had actually been at Bethel for about 5 years and had produced much of their content. Like You Make Me Brave is probably the biggest song that he had produced. And so I got in touch with the guy initially just to do some song coaching with him, because I knew that he did song coaching, found that out through his website, contacted him. We did one session, and Gabriel asked me to come and record with him. And so I committed to doing a single with him, and I went up to Portland, and I had such a profound experience while I was in Portland recording there that in those moments, the Lord just began to birth vision and bring validation and affirmation through Gabriel and through others that were there. And he just began to pour out into me, and there was just I had the most probably liberating and freeing experience I've ever had in my life. In that moment, I saw visions. The Holy Spirit just began to speak to me, and something just fell off. I don't really know how to explain it, but in that moment, as I began to worship and sing in the studio, there was just this freedom that came over me like I've never experienced with my music. And every limitation, everything that's restricted me from pursuing and going after this just fell off in that moment. And I knew at that moment, that was a defining moment. I knew going in that this was either going to be something that I had made an investment in to be a hobby, or it was going to become real. And in the moment, it became absolutely real. And I think it just took somebody in a position to define my music one way or another, either positively or negatively. And in that moment, there was only affirmation. And it wasn't that I was looking for affirmation. It was just that in the pursuits that I had had with music and the songwriting that I had done, I'd never had anybody receive me as a songwriter or even as a performer, you know, for lack of a better word, with regard to the recordings and things, because of the limitations that I had producing it myself. And there was just so much validation that was necessary. You know, I don't believe that any of us walk in a place of needing validation, because I think we should be able to pursue the thing that we're called and created to do without having to somebody validate us. But at some point, you have to come to a place where you have people in a position to either promote you or tell you that there's no future in what you're doing. And in that moment, there was nothing but promotion and affirmation and validation. And so I say it's necessary, but it's only necessary to a point. And I think I had done everything that I could myself to that point, and was at the place of just kind of giving up. It was almost like, this is either going to be a hobby or it's going to be real. And if it's a hobby, I'm tired of investing money, effort, energy, all of that into something that's going to be a hobby. I've got so many other things that I could do that I could invest all of the time and energy and money into that would have greater returns. And I'm a returns kind of guy. I want to see the results of what it is that I'm making an investment in. So in that moment, that was probably the most defining moment of my life in regards to the music and that type of passionate pursuit.
I love what you said. You talk about validation. What our listeners don't know, obviously, that I know, is for years you have pushed without any validation or without anybody saying anything. If I may say, there's even people that were just kind of like whatever about your music. It didn't take you serious. And you still, what I love is you still pursued the very thing that you felt was in you. And you just kept on taking it to another level. And then finally, to the point, what I love about the Lord is you obviously got to that place where you get weary, just like you read all through the Bible at times where people would get weary. And then the Holy Spirit just comes along and gives you that one person that you need, especially at the level. You're talking about somebody that's producing music on a world level, some of the best music coming out in the industry right now, and says, man, what you got is awesome. And I just love that story. So I just encourage our listeners, if you're at that place, whether you're getting weary, just ask the Lord to show, bring that person aside you. And even if you don't have that one person like Matt has, or I've even had in my life, just keep pushing through until you just really hear the Lord one way or the other. So Matt, I know that both of us are big on Seven Mountains. My question to you specifically, what mountain or mountains do you feel called to, and what are you trying to do right now to conquer those?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I love Lance Wall now, and I love what he says in regards to changing culture and invading those seven mountains. And of the seven mountains, I feel like right now I'm already in two of the mountains, which would be business and the church mountain. And it's interesting that you asked the question, because I feel like for probably about 6 months, I was really beginning to feel like I was wasting effort in the church mountain. And the reason I was feeling like I was wasting effort in it is because I was looking around and I recognized and realized, everybody wants to be, it seems like all the people that I'm around want to be and have a hand in the church mountain. And there are so many people volunteering and working and helping in so many churches. We live in the Bible Belt, so everywhere you look there's a church. And the funny thing is, just recently, I was kind of talking to the Lord about it. God, where am I best suited? And as if it's not obvious, he just said, Matt, I have you where I need you. I have you where I want you. And I said, really? Because it just seems like there are so many people writing worship songs, so many people writing church songs. And I'm just starting to feel like it just was kind of a wasted effort. Like my gifts and my talents could be better suited somewhere else. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, Matt, I desperately need people to write songs that portray a solid theological message and lead people to the Spirit and draw them into the kingdom. And yes, there are a lot of people writing songs, but there are not a lot of people writing songs intentionally that will do all three of those things. And so it's funny that I felt like and still feel like the church mountain is so inundated with people that have great giftings and great callings. Their gifts and their callings are not the same as mine. And so just because there are so many people in that arena doesn't mean that I'm not suited for it. So right now the Lord has me refocusing a lot of what I do, specifically for that purpose and for that reason, just to write songs that will draw all people unto Him and draw all people into the kingdom and expand the kingdom on this earth, bring heaven to earth. And, Bethel's doing a great job of that. I think Elevation Worship's doing a great job of that. Hillsong's doing a great job of that. But there are specific things that He is pointing out to me that nobody else is writing into their music right now. And I'm not saying that I'm better or doing more than anybody else. They all have their part to play. The Lord's drawing them into things. He's revealing secret things to them as well. There are just specific things that He's showing me now that He's revealing to me so that I can reveal them to the church. So I feel like that's probably my strongest area. I'm also in business, and so the business mountain is a huge mountain for me, and it's a mountain that I don't want to let go of. And it's It's interesting because the Lord has given me, and I think he's given us all, a call to be kings and priests, and what it looks like to be a king to me in modern day America or a modern world view. To be a king is to just be a businessman, somebody who moves and shakes and influences and affects the world financially. And so that's a huge thing for me, is to be both a king and a priest in that way that the Lord's called us, I think, all to be. So Business Mountain and Church Mountain, my two biggest mountains.
Awesome. I love it. Okay, so I want to dive into this question. This is a two-part question. But what has been a huge challenge, or would you say even a great failure? We all got several, but just one particular that really hits home. Kind of tell us the story that was a huge, something that you faced that was huge, whether in your life or your career. I'd love to hear the story behind that, but not just that, what the Lord did through that and how you overcame it.
Yeah, so I've got a ton of challenges, probably more challenges than most people have ever faced in a lifetime. I faced in a matter of just a couple of years. You know, I told you about the divorce, and that's probably one of the biggest challenges I've ever faced in my life. It was such a struggle. It was heartbreaking, heart-wrenching to go through it at the time. But I had my own role to play in the process that led to the divorce itself, and had a moral failure in the worst possible way. And at the same time, bankrupted three businesses, and gosh, I mean, I destroyed every relationship that I had, including the relationships with my family and my daughters. You know, every business relationship that I had, I destroyed them all from just really poor decisions. And there were more things that played into it, but ultimately it came down to my own decisions that I had made. And had I not made those decisions, would not have put myself in the position that I was in. So because of that, you know, I faced a ton of disqualification. You know, my heart has always been in ministry. I grew up as a pastor's kid. My dad was a Baptist pastor in a church near here, near Amarillo. And so all my life I'd been in church, grew up in church. Every day the doors were open, I was in church. And so I knew the Lord. I had a relationship that was pretty superficial, and part of that I feel like was due to the fact that I'd never been introduced completely and wholly to the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from my life, not because of my parents. My parents are super awesome and super fantastic, but just the church that I grew up in was not a conducive place to encounter the Holy Spirit or to pursue the Holy Spirit. And so, as a result, my relationship with the Lord was pretty superficial. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live a life of overcoming, and I've since realized that. But because of the failures that I experienced, I went through a season of real disqualification. And though my heart was in ministry, I felt as if, because of the moral failure that I had in the most atrocious way, and the business failures that I had, and the relationships that I had ruined, and the relationships, especially with my daughters, that I had ruined, and as you know, they hated me. They hated the things that I had done. They hated what I had become, and I hated myself. Frankly, I hated myself for it too. But as a result of those failures, I just began to experience this qualification, like this thing that my heart is passionate about, this thing that I want to pursue, I'm not even qualified anymore to do. I've ruined it. I've ruined myself. I've ruined my future. And then just through a process with people in my life, including you, but also other people, it was just like the Lord just began to draw out of me and breathe life into me the ability to continue in a pursuit of the thing that he had put on my life. The word says in Romans that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, which means basically that he won't change his mind. He'll never change his mind about the gifts and the callings that he puts on any one of our lives, even though, you know, I'd had all these huge failures, this moral failure in an unfaithful relationship, extramarital affair, and had destroyed these businesses and totally burned bridges with relationship to all of these people that had trusted me, the Lord still began to breathe life into the gifts and the callings that he had always placed on and never intended to withdraw from my life. And that to me was just like the most incredible picture of his grace. And so I've gone through a process probably, you know, it's been 3 years since the divorce in August, and, you know, spent about a year and a half in a separation, just really trying to make that marriage work, really trying to pour into it. And the Lord taught me in that process more about the grace of Jesus than I've ever learned and probably never would have learned had I not experienced what I experienced. He taught me what it was like to be Jesus. I got to see what it was like to be Jesus in the flesh, because I was pouring out grace where grace was not honestly deserved. And in the same sense, the Lord was pouring out grace in my life where grace was not deserved. And so in that time, I tell people that looking back, I would never want to experience what I experienced again, because it was literally like walking through hell. It was honestly, every day was the most difficult journey. You know, because we were business partners at the time, but there were days that I just was like a zombie, a walking zombie, and I couldn't think, I couldn't eat, and had I not had you there saying, "Matt, come on, let's go." And honestly, even I probably wouldn't have eaten, because I didn't even, that's how much of a zombie I was. It was almost like you were having to tell me, you know, "Matt, eat something, come on, just one more step." It was like you would do with a baby, one step at a time, here, take a step. And but in that process, though it was the most painful season of my life, and I'd never want to experience it again, I wouldn't change having had the experience because of what it taught me in that season, and being able to experience the grace of Jesus the way that I was able to experience it because of the situation that I was in. The most broken place is the place that I knew the love of Jesus more than I've ever known it before. So I wouldn't trade it.
You know what I love about that? Man, and I appreciate the things that you said, but I just want to tell you and our listeners, I've never seen anybody, it was an honor to really walk that through you with your life, because I've been around a lot of people that have fallen, that have broken, and you try to come alongside people and you try to help them, but you know, it doesn't always work out. But the one thing I can see is just the transformation that I saw, what the Holy Spirit did in your life. I still remember driving into a Lowe's parking lot and you telling me, "Hey man, I read this book, it was The Shack," and we started talking, and you said you prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to come into your life, and just this reviving of you, and just the process that I've seen what God has done to renew your music, your mind, your ministry, your business, just all these things in 3 years has just been a freaking awesome display of God's grace to see it. So, man, it's been a privilege. But I want to go, you know, you made this comment just right now. You're talking about that the Lord was breathing life back into you. You know, so many people feel like I've screwed up so bad, or I've had an affair, or I don't know, anything. I've done X, Y, or Z, you name it. And they feel like that God doesn't love them or can't bring them to that place. Did you ever, I mean, was that a thought in your mind? Like, I just can't, obviously I'm not qualified anymore, but did you ever feel that condemnation? Did God ever sit there and say, "Matt, you suck, Matt"? I mean, did you ever experience that?
No, I never felt like God didn't love me. And the reason I never felt like God didn't love me is because when everything came crashing down, the first thing, the first person that was there to just pour into me was God, and it was his love that just captured my heart. And I had nowhere else to turn but to him, and I experienced his love in such an extravagant way that I never felt like he didn't love me. But the thing that I did experience was the lack of love for myself and self-condemnation. You know, there was that self-talk that was running for so long that, you know, I kept telling myself, whether it was verbal or it was just this thought process that was going on, that, you know, I'm unlovable. Like, these people can't receive me. There's no way that I'll ever be qualified again, you know, like we talked about in the last question, you know. But there was this moment, really interesting, this moment that I was sitting at home alone in probably one of the most painful states of my life. And the Lord began to pour a song into me. And the song says, in the first verse of the song, it's called Abel. The name of the song is Abel. And the song says, who can call together oceans, speak a word and form dry land, illuminate the heavens yet forget the sin of man? And it's just this picture, it's this word picture of this brilliant God, this brilliant mind who has the capacity to create everything that we see, everything that we know, everything that is good. And yet, in one moment, he has this incredible memory lapse and totally forgets everything that I've ever done that has wronged him. And he's able to do that. And I just thought, wow, God, you're so incredible. And I think, you know, because of those things, I never experienced a moment where I didn't feel like God didn't love me. But I had plenty of moments where I didn't love me and I didn't feel like people could love me. I knew that God had a place for me to continue to do the things that he had gifted me to do. But I just knew that it was so difficult for people to overlook the sin of the past. And crazy thing is that God has just really demolished that mindset. I know that I'm lovable, and I've learned to love myself through the process because of the way that he has loved me. So it's pretty powerful, and it's been pretty profound for me to learn that and to understand that part of God's character and nature.
Man, I love that. That's a great, I think you nailed it on the head, is when you talk about it really comes down to self-talk and the things we beat up ourselves. If we would just sit back and allow God to love us, it would be so much easier to get over ourselves, I think. So, okay, so I want to jump in. These are some quick questions, Matt. But before I jump into these quick questions, the Let's Get Real round, I want to ask you this. Are you loving what you're doing now, playing music? God's restored it, bringing you back. Are you loving it?
Yeah, I absolutely love it. And I have a huge passion and huge desire to step further into it. And I get excited when opportunities come for me to go further with what it is that he's releasing on my life. So yes, absolutely.
So I want to kind of do this for our listeners. Is there, you know, what does that look like? What does that excitement feel like? Obviously, because a lot of times I think people say, well, I don't know what I'm called to do, or I don't know what I like, but you kind of said it a little bit, is you feel that excitement, right? You're like, man, I want to do this. Or there's like a stirring in you that says, I like this and I want more. I mean, what does that look like?
Well, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, the thing is, so in the songwriting aspect of it, regardless of whether I ever had a future in it, or I ever had a song, you know, that made it to radio, or, you know, that somebody else recorded, or I had the opportunity to record it and, you know, it made a huge impact. Regardless of that, there's just this inner stirring and passion that happens in me on a daily basis. And I don't necessarily write a song every day, but my head is just, I can't turn it off. It's like, it happens so often. I'll be listening to a song in a, I'll be in a restaurant like a Chick-fil-A, and all of a sudden the song will come on in the background, and I'm constantly rewriting songs. It's just like I can't turn it off, and I'm so passionate about it that no matter how much of a huge or large impact my music has or is capable of making, I can't turn it off. And I know that it's a passion because I still want to do it regardless. And I haven't, you know, that's the thing. I haven't had opportunities for it to become huge, and yet I still haven't been able to turn it off. And the thing is that as a songwriter, if you know that you have the ability to perform those songs yourself, there's something that in you, you have this desire to be the one who performs or leads other people into the presence through something you've written. So it's not good enough for me to just write the songs. I've got this thing stirring in me now that I've written probably 200 plus songs. I've got this thing stirring in me that I want to be the one that has the opportunity to see people drawn into the place of the presence through something that has literally drawn me into the place of the presence in the secret place. You know, I've just gone to my secret place and poured out my heart in these songs, and I want the fulfillment. I want the pleasure of seeing people led into a place of the presence through what it is that I've had the experience of doing and writing the song with the Lord in my private times. So yeah, absolutely. I just can't shut it off. Can't turn it off. It's just there.
Can't turn it off. Okay, so let's jump into the let's get real round. What would you say is your biggest strength or gifting in your area that you operate in every day?
Melodies, writing melodies for songs. I don't know why, but you know, there's basically two components. Three components, really, to writing a song. One is writing lyrics, one is writing melodies, and the other is the production of the song and knowing the flow of the song. And I would say my strongest ability is to hear melodies, and I don't know how to explain that to people in a way that they could really fully understand it, but I just hear them. It's like they just come out of nowhere. And it's a total gift. It's a gift of the Lord, because I know not everybody can do that. But they just come to me, and I know that it's the strongest area of my gifting in writing songs.
Okay, so what would you say is your biggest strength outside of music, though, just like in everyday life? What would you, you could say discernment or being a strong leader, anything like that. So what comes to your mind?
My biggest strength in life would probably be the ability to just gain trust with people and to have relationship with people. I just really connect well with just about anybody. I mean, there are people that I do, you know, just have things that come up where they're just not any connection. And usually it's a spiritual disconnect. But I think probably my strongest gifting, and I think that's probably what makes me a good worship leader, is the ability to connect with people. Because to be able to lead worship, you really need to connect with the hearts of men and lead them to a place through trust of encountering the Lord. And without being able to make that connect, if you have a disconnect with people, there's no way that they're going to trust you to follow you into the place that you're really trying to lead them. And I think that that's probably, you know, the trust and the connection and the leadership capacity that I have is probably my strongest suit.
So I'm just curious. I don't even know if this question applies, and I usually ask it, but is there a weakness within that strength at all?
Yeah, there is definitely a weakness. I think one of the things that I really struggle with is sometimes if I can't make a connection, I'll beat myself up over it. And a lot of times I'm so, I don't know if you want to call it intuitive or discerning or have the ability to really just perceive what is going on inside the heads of other people, that I try to engage with them regardless of whether they're going to ever engage with me. And I waste a lot of time with very few people rather than expanding the relationships that I have with the majority of people in my life. So I think the relationships are so important to me that they actually can be a weakness when I don't see the relationship connect like I want it to.
That's interesting. I like that. That you said that I've never heard that before or even thought about that. So, okay. So what's the biggest thing that God's stirring inside of you right now?
Balance. That's the word that he's given me. And I'm learning to really find a place of balance in everything that I do, whether it's my finances, whether it's my health and my fitness, or my time with the Lord, or my passions like music, or the things I'm not necessarily quite as passionate about, like my business. I'm really having to refocus some of my thoughts and my effort in those areas. The Lord's just really been constantly on me over the course of the last month or so about balance and finding a healthy balance in everything that I do.
Man, that's a great answer, because I think all of us could use balance. It is so easy, whether, I guess, depending on where circumstances pull the most out of you. Sometimes it's in your marriage, sometimes it's in your kids or your business. And a lot of times, at least for myself, it's easy to, you get sucked into business or whatever you're doing, and it pulls all this time away. And then you find that you've really lacked in other areas, and you turn around and you're like, oh crap, I need to fix some stuff. So I like that. Okay, so let's jump into the Kung Fu round. Kicking some game here. And we are! I love it. So we're all called to share the gospel, Matt, and that depends totally, obviously, where you're at, what you do as far as your pastor, your business, or music, all that. We all have different gifts, talents, abilities. How do you face that challenge every day? What does that look like for you to share the gospel to people around you?
You know, in an everyday experience or an everyday sort of way, it mostly looks like just loving on people that are close to me, in proximity to me, celebrating others. And that's one of the things the Lord's really shown me over the course of the last couple of years, because I haven't felt celebrated. He's given me a desire and a passion to celebrate others and the gifts that God has put in them. And I feel like for me, the best way that I can possibly lead someone to the Lord is through a place of kindness and revealing something to them about themselves that they don't even know about themselves, or nobody's ever affirmed in them or celebrated about them, and pointing to the fact that it's God that has put that very thing in them. So for me, you know, leading people to Jesus is always causing them to look inward first and to see God's design and his hand in everything that is in their life, his DNA, his image, the image of Jesus Christ on their life. You know, the word says in Genesis that we were all created in his image and in his likeness. And so if I can get people to see the image of God in them, then it's pretty hard for them to deny his existence. And they almost lead themselves to the place of knowing Jesus, because they're just curious. They want to know, how is it that somebody's able to see something in me that I couldn't even see in myself? So that's what it looks like for me.
Okay. So what is the daily habit? You talked about balance was your word. What personal habit do you have every day that you try to create that balance that gives you a solid walk with Jesus?
Well, funny enough, because I'm my personality, I'm a super, like, if you know anything about the DISC test or personality profiles, my DISC profile would be I'm a high I, high S, which means I'm a high influencer, and high instability, which is all people-oriented, and none of it is task-oriented. So tasks are my disdain. They're the bane of my existence. I hate tasks, and I'm terrible with task-oriented things, wonderful with people, which is evidenced by probably my greatest strength that I discussed a minute ago. But because I'm not task oriented, I really struggle with meeting goals and deadlines. And so one of the things that I've just actually done in the last couple of weeks is I downloaded an app called Productive on my iPhone. And what I did is I forced myself into a position of loading into that app daily schedule, daily tasks, things that I'm a little flexible in, but not flexible enough that I will forfeit or forsake at least somewhat of a daily schedule. And so it looks like for me, what I said is in my app, my tasks look like, you know, wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go straight to the gym. And so for the last couple of weeks now, I'm going straight to the gym at 6 o'clock, and I'm getting on this daily routine that what I've realized is now that I'm on routine, it gives me more flexibility in my spontaneous nature to just do the things that happen because I've already taken care of the necessary things that I usually would procrastinate or forego. And so, yeah, that for me is probably the hugest thing in my life right now is just to have that app and to have the accountability of a program that sets me on a routine and a schedule.
So what does that look like contributing to your walk with the Lord?
So part of my daily routine is I get up 6 o'clock and I go to the gym, and Mondays are really my day that I've set aside in my schedule now that I tell clients because of my business that, hey, I'm not doing anything on Monday. I'm not going to be on your job sites. I'm not going to be really answering your phone calls or scheduling subs or meeting subs out on the job. If there's an issue, it'll have to wait till Tuesday because I'm using Monday to take care of, you know, invoicing and billing and those sort of things that are necessary in any business. But I also use and have dedicated a huge slot of time on Monday mornings just to the first day of the week for me, really pursue the Lord, get ideas from God, spend time with Him, soak in His presence, and just allow Him to influence the direction of my week at the very onset of the week before anything else happens.
Man, I love that. That's good. That's just awesome that you're doing that, especially on Mondays, because Friday is such a hard day to do that, obviously, because there's such a demand. So, okay, what is a recent book that you've read lately that's impacted you that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Gosh, there's so many of them that in recent years that I've read. I would say, you know, Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, but you know, probably the most significant book that I've read over the course of the last, in recent history, would be Jimmy Seibert's book, who is the pastor of Antioch Church in Waco, Texas. Super powerful man.
Love that guy.
But that book is called Passion and Purpose. And obviously being in the place that I'm in with pursuing a passion that's always been there, but has been kind of subverted for a while, it had a huge impact on my life and still having a huge impact on my life. But just the character and integrity that he walks with and the things that he reveals through that book, man, they just really spoke heavy to me. And intercession, I learned so much about intercession and prayer through that book. And so, yeah, super powerful. Love that book.
You know, I love you brought up Jimmy Seibert. When you and I got to meet him at the men's conference, and I got to tell you, he is, at the level of influence that that man has, he was the most real, legitimate person I think I'd ever met to sit down that just, we'd consider a big name in our niche or our arena. I mean, that guy was just, he was all there, dude. I loved sitting down and talking to that guy.
He's a giant in the faith, and he's a father, too. You know, you can just tell he fathers people, and even in just a few moments with him, I learned so much from him. He fathered me in different things, and then reading his book just extended that ability to really receive from him. Yeah, so super awesome guy, super real, super touchable, and it was refreshing to meet somebody like that for sure.
It really was. Okay, so I want to jump into this question. Matt, you get to go back to see the younger you. What age would you go back to talk to yourself, and what would you tell yourself that's going to propel you further into your future?
23, that's the magic age, magic number for me, and that's the year that I actually got married. And no, I wouldn't go back and tell myself not to get married, but what I would do is go back and tell my younger self to be true to who you are, discover the identity of who you are in Christ, and hold to it, cling to it, and don't let anyone rob you of the truest form of identity of what God has put in you. That the things that you are gifted to do are actually part of. And I've heard people say, you know, this so-and-so has got their identity wrapped up in leading worship. But the truth is, for me, what I've discovered is because God created me with a gift, he sowed that gift into me. And if I lost it, you know, I would still be stable. But it's so an intricate part of who I am that it really is part of my identity, not in a bad way, but in a very healthy way. And so what I've discovered is when I get away from that place and get away from doing the things that God has actually created me to do is the moment that spiritual death begins to occur in my life. Like I begin to forsake God and begin to run from things when I'm not doing the thing I'm actually created for. And the truth is I'm out of God's will, or I'm not doing the will of God. And so naturally, as a result, I'm going to be far from God or feel far from God. Not that I'm far, because he's always near, but I've turned my heart from him in those instances. So that is the thing. I would go back 23 and pour identity into me and tell myself, always pursue and always do the thing that you were created for.
Okay. Well, Matt, man, I love the journey that I've gotten to go on with you today. And as far as talking about just the stories, and dropped a ton of wisdom, what would be as parting piece of advice for our listeners? What would you tell us, man?
I would say parting advice, especially young guys looking to do the thing that I'm doing, those that are probably going to be most interested in this broadcast are guys that that are probably interested in the things that have like interests and heart passions like I have. And the thing I would tell them is always, always, always do what you do out of a place of the presence. And I think that that bleeds over into any profession, any pursuit, any passion. But especially for worship leaders and songwriters, I don't write a song. I don't lead worship. I don't get into a place of leading worship without first having spent time in the presence of my God and my Savior. And the Holy Spirit just leads me in things. And so what I've discovered is if I will first get into a place of the presence, when I get into a corporate environment, the things that God has shown me in the place of the presence are easily transferable into the corporate setting. And I would just tell people, always do what you do from having first encountered the idea for what you're doing in the place of the presence. And that's the most important. We've got to live from the presence. So that's the advice I would give.
Amen. So one last thing for our listeners, Matt, man, you got some phenomenal music, both your albums. I still listen to Galaxy quite a bit. I love that one. I highly recommend it. Where can our listeners find your music, contact you if they want to write music or whatever? They need you at their church to lead worship, do a concert. Where do we find you, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. So any of my music is able to be downloaded through any streaming services, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, Spotify, all of the typical platforms. They can contact me at deetzmatt.com. So it's deetzmatt.com. And if you want to book me for any type of conference or leading worship in your church or anything like that, there's a booking page on that. If you're interested in doing songwriting or song coaching with me, you can also contact me through my website in the booking section. And again, it's Deets, Matt, DIETZMATT.com. So, yeah, find me there.
Dropping like it's hot, baby. Okay, listeners, you can find resources, links, everything that we talked about today will be on the show notes page. We'll have direct links going to Matt's page so you can find him if you will need him, I promise, because his music is awesome. Matt, I am so thankful that you took the time. It's been a long time coming for us to get together on this podcast. But, man, I just want to tell you thank you so much, man.
You bet, dude. My pleasure.
You have a blessed night. Thank you.
You too.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.